Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled, Don't Limit God, was recorded at our 2009 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, when I was a kid, they had this drug that they gave pregnant women. What was it for? I forgot.
Thalidomide.
I forgot what that was for, but it was for morning sickness, if I'm not mistaken. And they gave this drug, and the women who took it had babies that were born and their arms never got longer than like 6 inches. I remember playing baseball, and I was a pitcher pitching to a guy that only had two little tiny arms that could just barely grab the bat. And there was kids by the thousands, tens of thousands born that way. And people think, why did God do this? And I'm sure the Christians were saying, oh, God has a purpose. God didn't do that. You took a pill that destroyed and did damage to the baby in the womb. God doesn't control those kind of things. God isn't the author of evil. God is a good God. He's not a bad God. In the Old Testament, there are examples of the wrath of God, but praise God, the Bible makes it very clear that under the New Covenant, we've been redeemed from the curse, and that Jesus is not the one who's putting problems on you. It says in James, if any man, you know, is tempted, he's not tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. We are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. God is not the author of evil. God is not doing these things, and yet the church is saying this. So the very first thing I have to do is to let you know that God can be limited. God doesn't sovereignly rule your life like a chess piece and just determine what's happening. You cannot blame God on the failures in your life. God has a perfect plan for every single person's life. And if you aren't seeing that plan fulfilled, if your life isn't exciting, it's not God's fault. You know, I mentioned earlier that we've been with my family for 2 weeks, and I've had a great time, and I've enjoyed being with my family, but man, I was so excited to get back to doing what I'm called to do. What a blessing that I love doing what God called me to do. If you do something that you have to force yourself to do it, if you don't enjoy doing what God's called you to do, then it's because you hadn't found out what God's called you to do. You ought to be excited about it. If your life isn't supernatural, it's superficial. If your life isn't going good, it's not because God doesn't have a plan for you. It's because you aren't cooperating. You haven't found out that plan. But I'm telling you that God doesn't just sovereignly control your life and make it work out. You have to pursue the things of God in order to receive it. You know, I had a person one time tell me, I've prayed and God hasn't answered. I've sought and it didn't work. You know, keep your finger here. I'll probably come back to Psalms chapter 78, but over in Jeremiah chapter 29, this has become a popular verse. Lots of people know this. But in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And if you were to take this and put it in its context, it makes it even more powerful. Because in the context, it's talking about the judgment of God. Because these people had broken the covenant, because they had become idolaters, and they were just doing everything contrary to what God said. And this was a different covenant than what we have today. God's wrath was being vented, and he had told them in this chapter, I'm going to send the enemy in. They are going to conquer your cities, burn your cities, take your women that are pregnant and rip them up. Total death, destruction. And in the midst of him pronouncing this judgment on them, he says, but I know the thoughts that I think toward you. This isn't my plan. This isn't what my will for you is. My will for you is peace, to give you an expected end. The Lord, in the midst of pronouncing judgment over these people, is lamenting the fact that he couldn't do what he wants to do because they wouldn't cooperate with him. And then he says in the next verse, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. This doesn't say that you just seek and find. It says you seek and you will find me when you search with all of your heart. There's a lot of people that say, all right, God, you know, if you can reveal yourself to me in the next 5 minutes before my favorite movie comes on, you got 5 minutes. Perform. It's not like that. It's not like that. You have to seek with all of your heart. Or another way of saying it is that as long as you can live without knowing what God's will for your life is, then you will. But you know what? When you reach a place to where, God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I'm going to find out what your will for my life is, and you go to seeking with all of your heart, there is not a person ever in the history of the world that has sought with all of their heart that God hasn't answered. It says over in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, I believe it's either 1 or 2 Chronicles, it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the entire earth, seeking to show Himself strong in behalf of those who are perfect in His sight. Perfect in His sight doesn't mean that you're sinless or that you don't have any problems. It's talking about people who are seeking Him with all of their heart. And the eyes of the Lord are running all over the earth looking for that. God is here tonight. God is in this room. The Spirit of the Lord is in this room searching every single heart and saying, is there anybody who really is seeking with all of their heart to let me be God and to let me move? When you seek with all of your heart, this scripture says you find. There are no exceptions. And I imagine there's probably somebody saying, well, I've done that and it didn't work. Nope. You seek with all of your heart, you find. That's just the way that it is. And so God doesn't just automatically control. He's got a plan for your life, and it's thoughts of good, of peace. But you have to cooperate. You have to seek. And if you don't, then you can limit God. You know, let me make a statement here that may shock some of you. But God is limited to what you think He is. Not because God in Himself is limited. He's not. God is limitless. God is who He is regardless of who you think He is. But you know what? The nature of God, you find when Jesus came to the earth, He said, I'm meek and I'm lowly. He had to be invited. Even when His disciples were drowning in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, He came walking on the water. And you know the reason He was walking on the water was to go out there and save His disciples. But He made as though He would have walked by them. He went out and showed Himself to these disciples that were in the midst of the Sea of Galilee drowning. But He didn't just go running out there and say, hold on, I'm coming. And He didn't save them. He showed Himself and they had to cry out and ask Him for help. When He was walking after His resurrection to the road to Emmaus, He was with two disciples, and it says He would have gone further, but they compelled Him to come in. The Lord isn't going to say, can I come stay with you? He waits on you to invite Him in. The Lord, that's just the way that He is. He doesn't force Himself. You've got the right to go to hell, and He will defend your right. Nobody can force you to choose God. And so you have to invite Him in. You have to open up the door. And this scripture is talking about the fact that God doesn't just sovereignly control your life. He's got a plan for you, but you've got to seek before you find. And you've got to seek with all of your heart. And if you don't do that, you limit Him. So, because of all of that being true, the Lord is to you the way you believe He is. When I was a Baptist and believe that God passed away with the apostles and that miracles didn't happen anymore and that you couldn't be healed and the Holy Spirit, we thought that all of that stuff had ceased and that you didn't speak in tongues. Did you know what? When that's the way that I thought God was, He didn't force it on me. He dealt with me where I was. He loved me and accepted me, and I had a relationship with God based on, well, it certainly wasn't Spirit-filled the way that it is. I didn't pray in tongues, and yet He didn't criticize me over that. He met me where I was. He fellowshipped with me based on the way that I thought He was. When my dad died, I was told that God is the one that took him, that God needed him in heaven more than I did? You know what? That's not true. But that's what I was taught. That's what I believed. And did you know what? That's the way that I related to God. And that's the way that God was in my life. When I didn't believe that God did miracles, guess what? I never got any. When I didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, guess what? I never spoke in tongues. When I didn't believe in those things, God just met me on the level I was. And you can see this in the ministry of Jesus. He would come to some people and say, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Other people, he'd come and he'd have to do things. Go spit on the ground and make clay and put it on their eyes and get them to do something. And he would meet people according to where they were. You know what? If you believe that God wants you to get up and go to a job that you dislike and suffer through the day and come home and sit down and watch television all evening and then go to sleep and get up and go to a job that you don't like and you just do this over and over. And if you think that this is what life is all about, God will meet you right there. And you'll be saved and stuck. And you know what? You can hold on and you can still go to heaven. Somebody says, do you believe you have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues and operate in miracles and walk in victory to go to heaven? No. Matter of fact, you can get there quicker if you don't believe in all these things, because you aren't going to be able to walk in health and you're going to die along the way, and you can still go to heaven. But why? Why would you want to do it that way? God is to you the way that you believe He is. And if you believe that it's hard for you to live a victorious life, then you know what? God will just meet you there and He'll get you saved and give you an assurance of salvation, and you can struggle through, and when you die, you go to heaven and find out all that you could have been experiencing. But you can believe God for big things. You can take the limits off of God. You can limit God by your thinking, is what this verse is saying.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on taking the limits off of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1060C or DVD series R3204D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album R1060D. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-147 titled It's Up to You when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me remind you that we have brand new product out entitled Don't Limit God. And this is an update of a teaching I did 7 years ago that was entitled Taking the Limits Off of God. And this is an updated testimony about what God has done in my life and a real challenge to you to just start believing God for something bigger and better. We serve a supernatural, almighty God who has made His power and His ability available to us, and therefore we ought to be having a supernatural life. If your life isn't supernatural, it's superficial. Amen. I mean that to encourage you, not discourage you. So please listen to our announcer and call or write and get this brand new product.
Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.